app.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Waverly Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Center deep. Jackie Bradley racing back all the way to the wall, leaping up, and Jackie Bradley! Oh, he made the play! He caught it! It was gone! But he caught it! Climbing the wall and a brilliant play!
Spectacular play!
Jackie Bradley Sr. here to see it. This is magnificent!
Game-saving spectacular play by Bradley Jr. Holy!
The game was over. And a tip of the helmet there by Mancini. Brazier can't believe it.
Unreal. Unreal. I mean, we know the value. We know what he brings defensively every night. And regardless of where he's at offensively, that shows up. And, you know, he saved the game with that play. The things that he does in the outfield, it's a plus for what we do, and that's why we have to be patient. And sometimes it doesn't look great offensively, but you know, today he walked, he worked the count and all that, and we know that at one point he's going to get hot, but defensively he's a plus guy.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Come on. 617-779-0985. I've been waiting for this for 2 days after Jackie Bradley made that catch in Baltimore the other night. Come on. I want to hear it. 617-779-0985. Yeah, Maz. His defense is worth the offense. Yeah. I want to hear it over and over and over again. Did you just hear the manager? Alex Cora, didn't you hear him? Oh, he drew a walk. He walked in the Baltimore game. Well, that's like he's going to win the Triple Crown next if you go from there. Holy moly, I'm waiting for people to shove this down my throat. Jackie Bradley with that catch the other night in Baltimore. The importance of defense, is Jackie Bradley worth it? Look at the plays he makes in the outfield. Blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to call. I know you want to. Those of you who want to defend Jackie Bradley, you've been doing it for a long time. Tonight is your night after what happened in Baltimore a couple of nights ago. For those of you who missed it, Red Sox and Orioles 1-1 in the 11th inning. Was it Mancini? Trey Mancini hit the ball to left center field, almost dead center, straight away. Ryan Brazier, as soon as contact was made, thought it was a home run. Brazier thought it was a home run, lowered his head and said, oh God, here we go. Bradley ran across the outfield, I mean, relatively, got to the wall, stuck his foot in the padding, reached up, had to be what? 4 feet above the wall?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe more. Like, he was up there.
It was a hell of a catch. Although, I do wonder, on a scale of 1 to 10, Maz, what would you give it?
Oh, that one's up there. I mean, that's like a 9.
Okay. All right.
Okay, that's up there. That's an 8 or a 9. And so, you know, now, again, Bradley scaled the wall. He went up there, and I don't want to say it was a... I've seen him make more difficult catches. Okay? But, in terms of the timing of it, the stakes, being able to scale the wall, time it properly, all of that, and basically reach into the bullpen at Camden Yards and make that catch, great catch. Great catch, and again, the magnitude of it. He doesn't make it, you lose. You lose. And Bradley made it because in the next half inning, you came up, Andrew Benintendi homered, and you win the game 2-1. And the Red Sox got back to 500 for the first time since the second game of the season. So they are now 19-19 going into a weekend series with the Seattle Mariners. This is where we're going to begin on the Baseball Reporters. And I'm sort of throwing this at Jimmy Stewart here on a whim, but Andrew Benintendi actually commented about the Jackie Bradley catch as well. After the game, you heard Alex Cora there talking about the Bradley catch and what Bradley means defensively to the Red Sox. Benintendi also commented on it. Here's what he said.
It's like you kind of underappreciate it now. You've seen it so many times. I mean,
Now, obviously, he's one of the best outfielders in the game, and you know, I've seen him climb the wall a few times, and you know, the ball was too far over the fence for him to get, but you know, he timed that up perfectly, and I've seen him make that catch a few times now, so it's just nothing new.
Okay, so again, do we underappreciate Jackie Bradley's defense, or do we overrate it? Because I think it's the second thing. That catch the other night was awesome. It's a great catch, okay? But again, how many of those do you have a year? How many of those really do you have a year? And so the question really lingers, and the question stays. Is he worth it? Is he worth it? Does the defense of Jackie Bradley make the offense worth it? I still say no. Matt and Sharon, what do you say?
I say absolutely not. I mean, listening to Alex Cora talk, like he drew a walk and it was the greatest thing on earth. I mean, it reminded me of bench warmers when they were looking at their baseball cards. He's like, I got 11 foul balls. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I got my eyes. I got 20 eyes closed strikeouts, 5 broken windshields, and 6 dead birds.
So Matt, I'll tell you, what's funny about that is what Corey didn't say is that he had Bradley bunt the night before in the fourth inning. In the fourth inning of a game the Red Sox were leading, I think it was 3-2 at the time. Bradley bunted. He had him bunt to get to the number 9 hitter, Christian Vasquez. So even Alex Cora at times must look at it and say, ooh, I don't know. And if it's really worth it, why are the Red Sox thinking about having Michael Chavis play the outfield? Because if Chavis goes into the outfield, Benintendi moves to center, Bradley sits. So again, if it's worth it, why are they leaning that way? Steve's in a car. Steve, go.
Maz, just on what you said in your opening, I think we can have the best of both worlds here. Why can't you put Jackie in the late innings? Why does it have to be all or nothing?
Okay.
Listen to shit. Go Jumbos.
Yeah, so Steve, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. This is really a question as to whether or not he deserves to be in your lineup every day. And I even think you heard Alex Cora say, this is why we put up with it, because at some point he's going to get hot. It'll last a month like it does every other regular season, then go right back to being what he is. So I said some of this the other night. I want to say it again, and we'll get to your phone calls. There are 173 players right now in the major leagues who have enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title. 173. And when I say enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title, those are guys who you would deem everyday players in the major leagues. 173. Okay, so what it really tells you is that there are only 5 or 6 of those on a team. So that when I dump on a guy, and it sounds like I'm dumping on a guy like Andrew Benintendi, and I say, well, he's an average big league player. He is an everyday player in the big leagues. That, by definition, makes him one of the top 175, 180. Okay, because Benintendi plays every game. You don't have to sit him against lefties. You don't have to sit him against righties. He fades a little late in the year because he's not a big guy, but the defense is good. And overall, solid player. I mean, he's an everyday player in the big leagues. There aren't many of those. But again, 173 players in the major leagues with enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title. Jackie Bradley at the moment ranks 173rd, dead last in OPS. He ranks dead last, 173rd in batting average. And he ranks by a mile, 173rd, dead last in slugging. So of all the everyday players in the big leagues, Jackie Bradley, last in OPS, last in batting average, last in slugging. Of course the defense is good. Yes. You're telling me you can't find someone with good defense who can give you better than 173rd offensively? I mean, really. Are we done overrating the defense of Jackie Bradley? Can we please stop overrating it? He doesn't hit enough. He's never hit enough. They've been able to get by with it in other years because their lineup has been terrific. Maybe they can get by with it this year. I like the idea of bringing him off the bench. And you know what? So do the Red Sox. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to play Michael Chavis some in the outfield, which means less time for Jackie Bradley. Just goes to show you how much really they, even they, value the defense. I see a lot of you lined up again. I haven't had a lot of chances to talk baseball this week. So we'll do that. We'll take your calls. And talk about the most meaningful performance from that game in Baltimore a couple of nights ago. And I shouldn't even have to tell you who that is, but when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Struck him out swinging. So there's 10 for Chris Sale tonight. It's the first man in the seventh. 0-2. Did he go? He did. That is strike three, picked up by Leon. He'll fire on to complete it. 11 strikeouts for Chris Sale. Two gone in the seventh inning for Wilkerson.
You see the six pitches in the seventh inning. That's where we are. Six pitches, two punchouts.
Strikeout Wilkerson, hit by pitch, and he's also been one of the strikeouts.
9 for 9 this inning. I'm rooting for that. There we go, one more. Immaculate piece.
So that would be, and this is very, very rare if he gets this, the immaculate inning.
I know. I'm all over it. Gas him.
He did it.
Yes.
An immaculate inning from Chris Sale. 9 strikes. And he blows him away.
So a lot of you probably missed that on, I guess that would have been Wednesday night, right? Chris Sale, strong performance against the Baltimore Orioles. And granted, it is the Orioles. But even so, 14 strikeouts, no walks. And in the seventh inning, as you just heard, 9 pitches, all strikes, struck out the side. The quote-unquote immaculate inning. Yeah, the immaculate inning.
I have to say, I didn't even know of that term until right now. Like a baseball card nerd, way into it, still obviously, you know, here in sports talk radio. But an immaculate inning? Know about the immaculate reception, but an immaculate inning?
So you know what? It's dorky.
No, it's kind of cool, though.
But
if nothing else, it's a good sign, considering how this guy started.
Totally. And it is. It's a more modern term, like someone created it
some
in the last...
Some nerd, I'm sure.
I don't know, last 10 years, maybe? I don't know, maybe it existed before then. I don't feel like it did. So it's relatively new. But Sale did. I mean, if you think about it, it's a hard thing to do. Nobody else touches the ball but the pitcher and the catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a bouncer foul, blah, blah, blah. But you get the idea.
But there's no way it happens.
No, it doesn't happen a lot. It's very rare. You literally don't need the other 7 players on the field. The pitcher could stand on the mound by himself and throw 9 pitches and walk back to the dugout. And that's it. It's over. Right? You don't need anybody. So Sale did that the other night. Red Sox won the game. And I've said this all along. Do not underestimate the importance of Chris Sale. And when I say don't underestimate it, I'm saying also don't underestimate that the badness of Chris Sale and what impact it had on the team early in the year. The Red Sox were 0-6 in Sale's first 6 starts. 0-6. Since he won, starting with his first win, which I believe was on May 3rd, they're 5-1. He has won twice. They're now back to .500. They're 4 games over in just a week because Chris Sale has won. If you win with your ace, the 70% of his starts, and when you have an ace like Sale, you should win that much. He might not get a .700 winning percentage, but the team should win 7 out of every 10 games he pitches. If you do that and play .500 the rest of the year, you know what you are? An 87 win team. The ace alone gets you to 87 wins. You'll be 12 over if he wins 70% of the time. 12 games over. So now all of a sudden the Red Sox are back to .500, and you know what the biggest factor is? It looks like Sale's back or close to it, and he's still not hitting 96 or 97. I also think just quickly, there was a little bit of poetic justice in that game the other night. Baltimore is the game he came back in last year and got hurt again.
Oh, right.
If you remember, he hit 99 in that game. He came off the DL. It was in Baltimore. He pitched 5 innings and struck out like 12 guys, and then he went right back on the DL, and he was never the same guy. So that game the other night, I don't know, maybe you go out the door in Baltimore, maybe you come back in the same way.
Just real quick before you go to the phones, because I know how you looked up the list of players who had 2 no-hitters so you could downplay Mike Fiers' no-hitter the other night.
Yeah.
The last time, so this actually, I feel like this takes the a hit on the Chris Sale immaculate inning. The last Red Sox pitcher to do it.
Oh, God, don't tell me. David Price.
It was Rick Porcello.
Oh, God, please.
2 years ago.
So another guy who throws a ton of strikes. right? But so, yeah, that does let a little of the air out of the balloon now, doesn't it? But 14 strikeouts in the game. Sales looked better the last two games, right? He's looked more like himself.
Yeah, but against who?
Okay, agreed. But you know what? I said this earlier. Jimmy, small steps. They were who have they played all year and they've lost? They've lost against bad teams all year. So Baltimore and Toronto came in here in the first homestand. They lost to them. So at least now they're winning. They've won three series in a row. I'll take it.
For but now, you still suck.
For now, I'll take it. Chris is in Kingsboro. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you have to spot on about Jackie Bradley. You have to wonder if he'd even be on a team if he didn't hit the way he did the playoffs last year. But I do have to disagree with you on one point that I heard you talking about earlier on Felger and Mass, and that catch was much better than the Reddick catch.
So, Chris, I'm glad you brought this up because, again, people talk about the value of Jackie Bradley's defense and how rare it is. And last night in Houston, for people who missed it, the Astros were ahead 4-2 in the top of the ninth. Two men on. I'm trying to remember who it was at the plate. I can't remember now. It was someone actually half decent. But in any case, this happened.
Two-run home run earlier tonight. He drives one to right field, sending Reddick back. He's at the wall. He jumps. He makes a tremendous catch. He robs a three-run home run. Reddick, a game saver. That is one of the best catches you will see the entire season. And considering the moment, that is right there with the Jackie Bradley Jr. saving catch last night.
Okay, so again, I admit I said better just to bust your chops. I did to bust your chops because I think people overrate Jackie Bradley's defense. And the point is, there are other guys that make those plays. Reddick's play wasn't as good, but it was every bit as important. And you know what Reddick's batting this year? 336. 336. So you're telling me it's like, why can't he give them a little more offensively? Does he really suck this bad? So my argument isn't that Jackie Bradley's a bad defensive outfielder. He's not. He's actually very good, as we all know. It's the people who try to justify his offense by saying the defense is worth so much. It's not worth that much. I mean, really, how many of those plays are you going to get a year? How many of those kinds of plays are you going to get a year?
I feel like two, maybe.
A handful, yeah. Right? Again, I'll say, and you know what, even if it's not a game-saving catch like that one the other night, because that one the other night is exceptionally rare, Murray, let's just say the kind of play that very few other center fielders can make, that rare play, one a month, half dozen a year maybe. I mean, take a good...
Yeah, it feels high, honestly.
Take a good look at all the center fielders around the game. Kiermaier, Pilar, you know, Trout. There are some great by definition, as a center fielder, you're going to be good defensively. Hell, Mookie Betts and Benintendi can make some of the plays that Bradley makes. And they can hit. I mean, you know, and again, Benintendi's nothing, no Hall of Famer at the plate, but he can hit a little bit at least. Anthony's in Weymouth.
Yeah, hey, Tony. When it comes to Jackie Bradley, I'm going to preface this by saying I have nothing personal against him, but like, as much as I appreciate him winning us that one game, I got to look at how many games I feel like he may have cost us by not delivering with the bat when we need him.
Yeah, Anthony, I don't think it is even debatable. And again, I'm not even saying necessarily that he has to hit 270. I mean, he's been a 235, 240 hitter for the majority of his career, but it's not consistent, which makes it really frustrating. And the other thing is the power's not consistent. Now, look, last year in the American League Championship Series, Jackie Bradley had three hits. Three. If he can do that, but make them meaningful, I'll take it. We're talking about doubles and RBI, you know, home runs and RBI with the bases, all of that. You know, run with runners in scoring position. If he can deliver a big hit in those moments, hell yeah, I'll take it. Of course I will. But again, Alex Cora, even the Red Sox, they all say, oh, yeah, the defense, this is why he's out there, blah, blah, blah. Well, then why are they looking at putting Chavis in left field? Why are they even toying with that? And the reason? Because Bradley doesn't hit enough to justify his defense. You know what I mean? He doesn't hit enough to be able to carry it. You can't do it. There aren't that many plays in center field that really make that difference. Murray's got your headlines, and then we'll tell you why this weekend is a big weekend for the Red Sox.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox are playing Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
All right, the objective of this segment, or this part of the segment, is typically to give you like a bargain guy you can find in fantasy play on a given night or week or what have you. Typically, we do it at the end of the week. But tonight, I got to sort of go with some of the obvious choices, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But play free fantasy baseball this season. Again, the Fantasy Pick of the Night is brought to you by DraftKings. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So typically I look for, again, favorable matchup at a bad position. You know, a good right-handed hitting catcher against a left-handed starter in a good ballpark. You know, like to me, that's the way you would do it at those spots. Here's what I would tell you tonight. The Padres are playing in Colorado and they're throwing a lefty. Some guy named Eric Lauer, who I don't know about much, a lot about. He's 23. I mean, I don't know if he's terrible. I don't think he is. He's 2-3 this year with a 4.30 ERA. But Colorado, as we know, it's like playing on the moon. It's like 1/6 the gravity of Earth, for crying out loud, at the Mile High City. And there are a couple of guys in that Colorado lineup that just destroyed left-handed pitching. So you add in guys who destroy lefties, a lefty who's not great against righties, and Colorado, and I just think it's too good of an opportunity to pass up. So Nolan Arenado, Ian Desmond, Trevor Story. Those three guys have all hit well this year against left-handed pitching, and they typically hit well in their own ballpark. So you put all those factors together, to me, that's the kind of matchup you're looking for tonight, is I'd take any one of those three guys. They're a little more on the expensive side as far as acquisitions go, but again, I think the matchup is so good there that it's hard to pass up. Anyway, back to your calls, and Bert, who's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Bert.
Hey, Maz, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Listen, if I can make a quick observation and a question.
Sure.
I know Jackie Bradley's a great outfielder. I'm not taking nothing away from him. But if you guys ever watch MLB Quick Pitch, it's on late at night and early in the morning.
Of course.
You see one of those catches, I'm not exaggerating, two times, maybe three times a week. All right?
By different players. That's right.
A lot of good center fielders, like you said. And now my question is, what do you think Jackie Bradley has more? Great game-ending catches or rally killing innings where he strikes out or gets in a double play?
Well, Bert, I don't think there's any question. And you know what? That's a great way to put it. Is when you really look at it that way, you say, which one do you see with greater frequency? Murray?
Oh, it's him killing a rally or striking out.
I mean, it happens all the time. Right?
All the time, every night.
So this is
a black hole in that offense.
I'll tell you what, I give Bert a lot of credit. It's a great way to put it. What happens more? A bad at bat or a great catch? I don't think it's even close, because he's going to come up three times a night. The other night in Baltimore, I'm not talking about the night he made the catch. The night he made the catch was on Wednesday. On Tuesday night in Baltimore, Bradley also made a diving catch. He came in on a ball. I want to say it was the sixth inning. They made a couple of them that inning because Betts ended up making one in right center field. Okay. That night in the fourth inning, the score was 3-2. The Red Sox were ahead, and they had runners on first and second and nobody out. And you know what Alex Cora asked Bradley to do? Bunt. Bunt. He treated him like a pitcher. That's what he did. First and second, nobody out, fourth inning in Baltimore. And I'll lay out all the variables to you again. right-handed pitcher on the mound. Bradley hits left-handed. So you have the left-right matchup in your favor there. The number nine hitter was coming up next. You are ahead. You're playing in a ballpark that is conducive to offense, particularly for left-handed hitters. It's a shoebox. Baltimore's a shoebox and always has been. Again, your number nine hitter is coming up next. And your manager last year bunted seven times successfully. You had seven sacrifice bunts all of last season. And he had Bradley bunt. So I know everyone will say, and Cora himself said it the other night, well, this is why we have patience with him. They don't have so much patience that they're willing to let him rot in the batter's box because they're asking Michael Chavis to start getting a look in left field. So even they don't believe it. They say it, they don't believe it. Carl's in Grafton. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Matt, it's good to talk to you. I think it's the first time I called in all year. Listen,
no worries, anytime.
I think Bradley is not the answer defensively. Like, it definitely doesn't make up for it. I totally agree with you. I heard you making the point the other day on Felger Maz. I wonder if now that they're at 500 of the Red Sox, do you think have the juice to still get on top and go past the Yankees and get to the end? I'll hang on here. What you guys have to say. Thanks.
Yeah, so Carl, I appreciate you bringing up that topic because I wanted to go there anyway. And do the Red Sox have the juice to get past the Yankees and you know, play themselves back into the playoffs and win the division, right? And my answer is, yeah, of course they do. Yeah, they have the talent. We know that. There's no issue there. They have the talent. There's no issue with them and the talent at all. We know that they have the talent. The only question early on was them, the readiness of the team coming out of spring training, which is on the manager and the overall sort of approach of the organization and the mindset of the players coming into the season, because let's face it, they weren't ready to go. They weren't. But now, in theory, they're back at 500 and they've, quote unquote, played themselves out of the hole, which even that isn't entirely true. Okay, they're five out in the division, six out in the loss column. And there are only a couple back in the wild card if you're interested in that. Okay, now again, you can say what you want about, well, just get into the playoffs, take your chances and see what happens. Ideally, you want to win the division, but even that's not beyond reach for them. They're at 500 now. There's plenty of head-to-head games left. They can absolutely play their way back in it. But to say that they've dug themselves out of the hole, I also think is a little misleading because, A, they're still behind. It was never about getting to 500. It was about being in command of the division, which they are not. And secondly, if they end up losing at the end of the year by a game or by two games, heaven forbid they miss the playoffs by that amount. You're telling me we're not going to look back at the beginning of the season and say, well, if you hadn't started 6-13, you'd be in the playoffs. Or if you hadn't started 3-9, you'd be in the playoffs. Of course, we'll be saying that. So the idea that they have dug themselves out, that's not going away. They got off to a bad start. That was permanent. So again, can they make up for it? Sure. We'll know that at the end. But there is no quote-unquote digging out. You did damage to yourselves in the early part of the year. That doesn't go away. Now, this weekend, they're playing Seattle. And here's why I think this series is important. Because you opened with them. They kicked your ass 3 out of 4 games. And you know what? We thought it was all Red Sox at that time. In retrospect, some of it was the Mariners. The Mariners went 13-2 to open the season. 13-2. You know what they are now? Jimmy Stewart, Murray, you want to guess what their record is now?
Who's that? The Mariners? Oh, they're 20-20.
They're 20-20.
Yeah. No, because I said to you earlier today during the afternoon show, because that team got off to a really good start. It looked like they might have been for real. They obviously faced the Red Sox early, and I didn't know. I was like, holy crap, wow, they sank like a stone, huh?
Yep. So again, they went from 13-2 to 20-20. You went from 6-13 to 19-19. So the Mariners in that time are 7-18. 7-18. I would hope the Red Sox will look at this series and say, these guys kicked our asses early in the year. They were playing well. We were playing like crap. You know what? Let's beat the crap out of them a little bit. Let's start building some momentum. And just as importantly, let's not fall below 500 again, because it took us a long time to get back here. So let's build some momentum and beat the crap out of these clowns. Because I got news for you. The schedule is going to start getting difficult soon, and you better have some wind behind your back and some confidence in your clubhouse when that happens. Otherwise, you're looking at 6-13 again. Jimmy's in Newburyport. Go ahead, Jimmy.
So, hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good.
So why don't they send Jackie Bradley Jr. down and play Martinez?
J.D. Martinez?
Yeah.
So when you say send him down, you mean to the minors or put him on the bench?
Oh, put him on the bench.
Okay. So, yeah, Jimmy, they could do that. Again, I think there are other ways that they can accomplish that. They could, you know, put Chavis in left field. They could certainly play Martinez in left field some of the time. My concern with playing J.D. Martinez in the outfield regularly is that he'll break down. So he had back spasms early in the year, missed a couple of games. If you remember, they didn't score in those games. I want to say that was when Tampa was in town, if I get my timeline right. So I think the more you put J.D. Martinez on his feet and in the outfield, the greater the likelihood that he's going to miss time. Remember, until last year, this is a guy who missed a lot of time. So, it's an option. I'm not telling you it isn't. You can certainly do that. DH Chavis, like there's a million ways to go. But the point is you have choices, and by getting Bradley out of the lineup, and I think they are headed towards that. Just quickly on the Red Sox schedule, that after this weekend series, and then they have a good homestand coming up where they should be able to make a little bit of noise because Colorado comes in here after Seattle leaves. But then the Astros come in, you go on the road to Toronto, which should be a winnable series. It's a four-gamer, but nonetheless, you're on the road. And then you're at Houston. So you play two series with Houston in 10 days, six games against the Astros. Oh, and they want revenge. Even if it's in the regular season, they want to kick your ass after what you did to them in the ALCS last year. And then after six games with the Astros, three with Cleveland, four with New York. So starting on May 17th, you will have five series covering 16 games. Okay, and 13 of them are going to be against the Astros, Indians, and Yankees, including half of those on the road. So you better be playing your best baseball by the time you face those teams, or you're going to be under 500 again. You're going to be approaching the end of May, and you're going to say, now what? Now what? So beat the crap out of these bums this weekend. And then win again when Colorado comes in here and see if you can at least tread water against the good teams and maybe even make up some ground. Huh, how about that for a concept? We'll wrap it up with your calls when we come back. We'll give you the matchup of the night. And I saw a stat in the paper today about the Red Sox that blew my mind. I'll tell you what that was when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bets on deck. High fly ball, he laid into one. Deep to right, backing up Mancini.
What a sweet swing by Benintendi.
So for all the love given to Jackie Bradley for that catch the other night, Andrew Benintendi's the one that made it stand up. Home run in the 12th, Red Sox win 2-1. I'll get to him in a second. Just quickly, time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. The Red Sox have no history against Eric Swanson, who is pitching against them tonight. He's a right-hander. My rule of thumb generally is watch this guy and see how he pitches against the lefties. You'll get a sense if he's any good. If he can't get the lefties out, he's screwed. Okay, that simple for a right-handed pitcher. If you don't have something to combat lefties, you're pretty much porked. Eduardo Rodriguez, the Mariners, if you remember, slapped him around a little bit out there. He threw a million pitches against him. A couple of guys stick out. D. Gordon, 6-for-10 in his career against Eduardo Rodriguez. Edwin Encarnacion, 6-for-18 with a home run. D. Gordon, .600 average. Edwin Encarnacion is .333 with a homer. And Encarnacion always seems to hit at Fenway Park. I don't have the numbers to back that up. I might be making it up. I have no idea. But I would tell you that it feels to me like he is your sort of classic right-handed Fenway hitter. On Benintendi, I saw this stat in the paper today, and I sort of said, maybe I got to think about this kid a little bit differently, because I think Benintendi's an average player. But in today's Globe, Andrew Benintendi's game-winning homer in the 12th inning Wednesday added to a remarkable extra innings resume. At 24 and in his fourth big league season, Benintendi already has 7 hits that have given the Red Sox the lead in extra innings. 8th most by a Red Sox player behind Ted Williams, Jim Rice, David Ortiz, Yaz, Jackie Jensen, Dwight Evans, and Bobby Doerr. Holy crap. Like, how many Hall of Famers on that list? So Benintendi has come up big in the extra innings a number of times. It didn't occur to me until I read that. Like, just an interesting stat. We believe in guys who come through in big spots. Late in the game, every at-bat matters. Benintendi's been okay in the postseason. And that game, by the way, in Baltimore on Wednesday night, boy, if you're a big proponent of the Red Sox outfield, that was the game for you. Benintendi hits the game-winning homer in the 12th. The Red Sox first run of the game came on a solo home run by Mookie Betts. And Jackie Bradley, in between, made a catch in center field that helped save the game. So all three guys contributed in that game. And just one more note on Benintendi, because I always wondered with Benintendi when he came into the big leagues, whether or not he would hit for power consistently to be a really good major league player, and he hasn't. I mean, he's hit 16 home runs last year, I think it was, but 2 of them after the All-Star break. He's a doubles hitter. If he ever played at a place like Camden Yards, he'd have a different career, because that place, built for left-handed hitters like him who don't have a ton of power. You know, Brady Anderson, even if there was a little artificial enhancement there with Brady, wink, wink. But Benintendi, in a place like Baltimore, he'd be really good there. Anyway, what do you got? Pac-Man Jones coming up 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
What did I hear you grade Bradley earlier?
Grade him?
Yeah, on that catch.
A 9 is what he gave him.
Eight or a 9.
9. May against Baltimore. I gave it a 4. May against Baltimore gets a 4.
Which I saw the perfect response tweet to this, Jones, which is like a normal person's 11.
Right, yeah,
exactly. Right.
Yeah. On the old Jones curve, maybe that's an 11. That's true. But yeah, I give it a 4.
Good point.
You guys excited for the big game tonight? Celtics game 6. Let's go. Here we go. Let's go, C's. Let's force a game. Let's do. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, sorry. Celtics are done. So we'll continue the postmortem on the Celtics and, of course, recap what happened last night with the Bruins.
Okay, so there you go. Jones and Arcane coming up. Murray's Get Your Headlines. Everybody have a nice weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.